The Argyry in County Armagh is a 19th century house run by the National Trust. If you visit it, you'll find that at the front door is a set of scales. And we're told that whenever house parties were held in the house, guests were weighed when they arrived, and they were weighed when they left, and if they had put on weight, it had been a successful visit. This has been a very successful year. A resounding success, based not only on the pounds that I have piled on, but on what I have seen of our church and its work. During the past year, we have visited places from Artaclave in the north to Ahada in the south, from Ballina in the west to Ballywalter in the east. Do you see how carefully they arrange my diary? Everything's done in alphabetical order. We have seen the work of our church in many and varied settings. And as I have said already in recent interviews, I have found the Presbyterian Church in Ireland to be in good heart. In spite of the failings which occur in any church, our church is working and witnessing in the community and in the world. And a whirlwind tour, let me give you a flavor of what we have done, the people we have met, and what we have seen. If we visited your church or your project and you're not on the screen, it doesn't mean that your work is not important or valuable. It's simply that we can't fit everything in to a 10-minute travelogue. Indeed, I have taken more out of this script than I have left in it. In March, we find ourselves in the middle of Ireland in the town of Mullingar. The church had outgrown its original building and moved to a new purpose-built facility, and it was a joy to preach at its opening. From this new building, the congregation has a wonderful base for the service and outreach it will bring to the community. Our church runs Thompson House to provide temporary accommodation for ex-offenders to prepare them for a move to permanent accommodation. That accommodation is approved by the Probation Board of Northern Ireland, with whom we work closely. And to recognise their work in our community, I hosted a breakfast for the PBNI staff and our staff who work with them. Grays Court is a supported living project for those who have addictions and consists of 7 one-bedroom flats. It offers a range of therapies and support. Our church runs 14 complexes for the elderly people and for those with physical and mental disabilities. Here are some of the people involved with the sheltered accommodation in Tritonville Close in Dublin. And lest you think that I spent all my time working, while in Dublin we were the guests of RBS at the Aviva Stadium for the Ireland-France match. Our hosts that day were Sir Nigel and Lady Lorna Hamilton, who have proved good friends to us over the year. And while we were having a photograph taken, Stephen Ferris saw the moderator and insisted on photobombing it. At least that's what I think is what happened. Really, Esther invited him to come in. Deborah and I were also guests of the GAA at Croke Park for 2 quarter-final matches and what I could only describe as a sumptuous lunch. But I haven't forsaken soccer. This was at Solitude for the match between Cliftonville and Glentoran. A number of our ministers serve as chaplains to sports clubs and at sporting events. And here are Dario Leal and David Thompson, the chaplains of Cliftonville and Glentoran. During the year, we visited 3 of our presbyteries And I was delighted in October when I had the opportunity to visit the Carrickfergus Presbytery where I grew up and spent my assistantship. I was able to preach at the communion service in my home congregation of First Carrickfergus and catch up with old friends. We had an opportunity to see people at work in different ways throughout the year. And here we are down the salt mines at Kilroot. If you ever have salt on your roads, it probably came from where we were standing. We visited a project run by Joymount Congregation in a difficult area of Carrickfergus where they are reaching out into the community. In February, we visited the Dromore Presbytery. At Dromore High School, we had the opportunity to pay tribute to the retiring principal, Mr. John Wilkinson, who for many years had served the community through his involvement in teaching. We visited the fascinating work at Every Home Crusade in Dromara, where Christian literature is published and printed for distribution across the land and around the world. In every presbytery, we preach and speak much. And here, the week ended with a presbytery rally in St. Columba's, Lisburn, where I was able to meet members of different congregations. Then in March, we traveled to the Monaghan Presbytery. We've visited many schools throughout Ireland, but we visited particularly quite a number in the Monaghan Presbytery and paid tribute to the staff for their service to the young people in their communities. This was Billyborough Community School. We visited Presbyterians playing their part in the community by providing jobs. One of the highlights of the week was a visit to the Kids Club at Balassus. Our overseas trip took us to Kenya. Esther and Debbie and I were accompanied by two representatives from PW, Anna Morrison and Charlotte Stevenson. Among the places we visited were the Reeds in Alkanyei, where, as well as helping local farmers and protecting vulnerable young people, they have established three churches in conjunction with our partner church, PCEA. This is the church at Incinton. You'll see there that there are not particularly comfortable pews. We sat in benches. Gary Reed on one occasion asked the congregation to move because all the men sat on one side and all the women sat on the other. And he said, look, you know that I like people to sit with their families, so men, will you go and sit with your wives? And we were sitting on the left-hand side and Deborah nudged me and nodded forward, and there was a man three rows in front sitting with a wife on either side. Well, he'd been told to sit with his wife, so he did. You may have heard of the Cowan family who have worked at Toome for the past 25 years. Here's Toome Main Street on a busy day. The PW project for last year was to buy a bus for Toome Girls' School. This is almost ready and will make a great difference to the work of the school. And with representatives of PCEA, we visited His Highness William Ruto, the Vice President, in his offices. Our ladies were amazed at the organization and work of the Women's Guild. Every service includes much singing and dancing. And here, Naomi Laramore and the four women joined in a practice with the guild members. None of them were signed up. As well as missionaries serving throughout our church, there are a number of Presbyterians serving with other missionary societies. One of them who was in headlines recently is Maud Kells. Maud has worked with WEC since 1968. And was awarded an OBE for her service. Then shortly afterwards, we were horrified to hear that she had been shot on her mission station. We praise God that she survived and has made a remarkable recovery. Maud is an inspiration, and the few hours that Esther and I spent with her were a blessing to our souls. Can I tell you that if you get the opportunity of going to hear Maud, go and hear her story, and you too will be blessed. Speaking of inspirational people, I also had the opportunity to hear and meet Terry Waite and Canon Andrew White, the vicar of Baghdad. At last year's assembly, we heard from the Reverend Peter Galul concerning the situation in South Sudan. As a consequence, the church set up what has come to be known as the Moderator's Appeal. And I can report that since last year, £340,000 has been raised. Then in the aftermath of the devastating earthquake in Nepal, we launched another Moderator's Appeal. And over the last few weeks, we have raised already £86,000. And when you consider on top of that, that our annual World Development Appeal raised £561,000 at Christmas for Haiti and Myanmar, that's a total of almost £1 million that we have raised for the benefit of people overseas. And I want to thank the church for the response to these appeals. And I want to let you know that through our partners, Tear Fund and Christian Aid, your money is being put to good use. We are a church of service and outreach. Some other inspirational people we have met during the year were those who were celebrating their 100th birthdays. We saw 22. Only one man. There were about five others that we weren't able to see because we were out of the country. And I want to thank past moderators who deputized for me on those occasions. But it's a joy to meet these people and to hear their stories and to listen to how they have been working and serving through the church for so long. There have been sad occasions during the year, and one of them involved an arson attack on our congregation in Donoughmore in County Donegal. Thankfully, no serious damage was done. And when I visited the people on the Saturday morning, found that they had rallied together and had been working all day to have the building ready for worship. Last September, we remembered the outbreak of the First World War, and I attended a service in St. Anne's Cathedral and later a ceremony at the City Hall to mark that tragic time and to remember the sacrifice of so many people. We also attended the National Commemoration Day in Dublin to represent our church in remembering those from the Republic of Ireland who had likewise made great sacrifices. I preached at the annual Disabled Servicemen's and Servicewomen's service in the iconic Sinclair Seamen's Church. Throughout the year, we attended a number of openings and reopenings of buildings. We were at the reopening of the Lucan Centre, and we heard some inspiring stories, and we met some inspiring people. I also cut the sod at First Castle Derg as they prepare to build a new hall to help them in their mission of service and outreach to the community. By the way, that's not the sod that I cut in the background. In case some of you think we'll get him down to our place. As an old boy of 3rd Carrick Fergus Boys Brigade Company, it was a pleasure to attend the opening of Newport, the new BB headquarters and training centre outside Hillsborough, which was opened by the Earl of Wessex. I was also able to pay a visit to Girls Brigade headquarters at Antrim. And I want to pay tribute to the work of these and other youth organisations, to our Sunday schools and to our youth clubs. We are indebted to them for all the efforts in this most difficult work. And while the numbers of young people claiming connection with our church may be falling, there are thousands who come through our doors every week. I want to commend to you and to your prayers the many leaders who so willingly and freely give of their time to work with the young people of our land. One other meeting which I attended this year was the annual meeting of Presbyterian Women. Someone tweeted that the moderator was a little outnumbered. That was an understatement, but I can report that I survived relatively unscathed. However, I do want to say a word of thanks to the ladies in the Presbyterian Women for the example of service and outreach which they give to our church and to the tremendous amount of work that they do, sometimes unnoticed and unthanked. And so our final service, which I conducted, was in Drumacose in Limavady at their Flower Festival. As you can see, the theme was appropriate: Christ the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And as I come to the end of my year, my special year, I want to give thanks to God for his unspeakable mercies. But I also want to thank other people who have made me look reasonably well organized, who have worked hard behind the scenes to make things happen. You've heard it said that behind every successful man is an astonished mother-in-law. Well, I think that there are many astonished people in our church today. You will have read articles that I wrote and statements which I issued on a range of subjects, and I know that some have found those helpful and encouraging. So let me begin by thanking Miss Rebecca McConnell, who was interim press officer when I began, and Mr. Mark Smith, who was recently appointed in a full-time capacity. They not only made me look good in print, but they encouraged me in the one area that I really felt less than confident in taking on. Not only did I require two press officers, but I needed two clerks. Dr. Donald Watts retired at the end of August, and the Reverend Trevor Gribben, who had been deputy clerk, took the reins. The new deputy clerk is the Reverend Jim Stothers. And to these men who guided me in so many ways and advised me carefully, I want to say a very big thank you. The General Secretary's office is a hive of activity, and my thanks go to Alicia and Jennifer for all the work that they did to help me. There's another member of that department, and I have to confess to you that she has been the other woman in my life for this past year, with Esther's approval. No moderator can survive without Joyce Anderson. She's not only a secretary, but an advisor, a counselor, a nag. Oh, I did write that. I thought I'd taken that out. And a friend. Joyce, thank you for all that you've done to make my life so much easier in this past year. I want to say a word of thanks to all the people who work in this building, especially for all that they have been through during the past year. I have come to a fuller appreciation of all that happens here. It has not been an easy year for our staff. We're just emerging from a year of reconstruction. We have been putting new structures in place, and it has been a difficult and at times painful process. And I want to say to the staff here, thank you for your patience and good humour, and for the ways that you have adapted to our new ways of doing things. Of course, there's one person without whom this building would not remain standing, who has taken the load of moving furniture and organizing offices, and that's our building manager, Harry Orr, and his staff, and we appreciate their work. Each year at the General Assembly, some conveners of what were old boards and committees retire, and one of the tasks that the moderator has from the front here is to thank them. They will stand, they will come, the moderator will shake their hands. Unfortunately, with the transitioning of our old boards into new councils at the beginning of January, many of our conveners were not recognized publicly, and I want to take the opportunity now to thank those of you who served in a sometimes onerous role. They're all sitting together here looking as if butter wouldn't melt in their mouths, but they have really worked hard over these past years, and I don't want this opportunity to pass without saying thank you for the work that you have done, for your efforts and for the sweat, for the leadership and guidance that you have given to our church. I want to thank my chaplains, Stuart and Trevor, for their support and prayers and encouragement throughout the year. I thank people who have worked with me and people who have tried to make me look good. But there's one person who has been constantly at my side to ensure that I was in time. Not an easy task. To encourage me when I got tired, and that was Esther. She had knee surgery a year ago, and then she took the rest of the year off work so that she could travel with me. When we would visit somewhere, she would sometimes be presented with a gift, and she would joke that all she did was make sure that my socks matched. I can assure you that she didn't always get that right. But she did much more than that. She was my constant companion, and apart from committee meetings here in assembly buildings and about two engagements, she has been with me at my side everywhere we have gone. I have relied on Esther through my ministry, and especially throughout this past year, and to her I want to say a very sincere thank you. And in thanking her, I want to thank our daughters, Judith and Deborah, as well. They have played their part in keeping me humble. Although I will be glad of one thing. Even a few weeks ago, I met someone who said, I was at the opening night last year, and I was waiting on them telling about my sparkling address, about how well I looked and how distinguished in my robes. And time after time, they would say, oh, your daughter sang beautifully. And of course, I had to go home and tell them that. They somehow knew, they got vibrations. But they have been there for us as well. As you know, Judith's husband had a serious car accident in September. The emergency services said they'd never seen a scene like it. And he was in intensive care for many weeks in an induced coma. He's now back at work. He gets a little tired at times. He will need some reconstruction on his right elbow, possibly later this month. But I want to thank all of you who asked about him and who prayed for him. It has been touching to know that we as a family were upheld by the church and by many people across this land. So thank you all. A year ago, this church asked me to represent it as moderator. I have endeavored to do that to the best of my ability. And I want to thank you for the trust and confidence you had in me. You have given me a unique opportunity. And to those who invited us to their churches or to their groups or to their activities, and they were many and varied, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to visit you. But as I said at the beginning, most of all, to the Lord of the church, my humble and sincere thanks and praise for his unending goodness and overwhelming grace that has kept me. Now let us join to praise God. And our next hymn challenges us to give us an opportunity to respond to his call. Hear the call of the kingdom. Lift your eyes to the King.